Fine. Okay, so a bit of a curtailed Gemara share today. Daf mem dalod amud aleph. Let's begin the Mishnah. Ochal anovim v'teinim v'rimoinim. What does that mean? How do you translate those words, Rabbi Avrom? How do you translate ochal anovim v'teinim v'rimoinim? If he ate
grapes,
yeah.
Figs.
You missed out something. You missed out a word.
It's and.
Oh.
Or.
Oh, that's my question. Or. Is it and or is it or?
Or.
Definitely or. When it says in the Torah, "Kabe desovicha ve'esimecha," what does that mean? To honor your father and your mother. Well, you only have a mitzvah if you honor them both. If you honor one without the other, then not. So it's machlokes in the Gemara. We learned it many, many moons ago. Whether vov means an and or does it mean or? But our kaponim over here, it definitely does not mean and. You don't have to eat grapes and figs and pomegranates to be chayav a bracha achreina. Obviously it means if you ate grapes or figs or pomegranates, mevarech achareihem, shalosh brachos. Divrei Rabban Gamliel. Gamliel says a tremendous chiddush that birkas hamazon, three brachas, is recited even after shivas haminim. Says Rashi immediately, Mavorech Achreim Gimel Brachas. We have to go back to that sugya. Reb Gamliel Leta'amei. This is Reb Gamliel following his tam, following his reasoning. Dom Ale'el Bepirkin. Kol Shehu Mezayin Haminim. Anything which is from the Zayim Haminim, from the seven species, Mavorech Achreim Gimel Brachas. This is what Reb Gamliel is teaching us. Says the Mishnah, v'chachamim oimrim, bracha achas. No, you do not say shalosh brachos, you only say one bracha. If you include the brackets, me'ein shalosh. What does me'ein shalosh mean? So let's just translate. The word me'ein means similar to. So it's the one bracha which is similar to three. Why is it similar? Because it comprises the basics of the three brachas. It talks about Azon, talks about Eretz Yisrael, talks about Beis Hamikdash. Those are the three main brachas. So, if a machlokes, Rabbi Gamliel or the Chachamim, would you make three brachas or would you make one? Rabbi Kiva says, Afilu ochal sholak. Even if you ate what sholak, a cooked something, says Rashi Shel Yerek. Providing that v'hu mezoinoi, what does that mean, v'hu mezoinoi? That it's his meal. The main essence, the main body of the meal, that's what he's having to satiate himself. Then also mevarech olav gimel brachos. So there seems to be three opinions over here. The Chachamim maintain that you do not make gimel brachos even over shivas haminim. Kol shekei, not over a yerek. Only, presumably, after lechem. Rabban Gamliel says, not only lechem, also shivas haminim. Comes along Reb Akiva and says, no, even shalek, if that's your mozoin. Says Rashi, v'hu mozoinoi shesomach olav lemozoin. He's relying on that for mozoin, for food. Says the Gemara, Hashoyse mayim litzmo'oi. If you drink water, now this is going to be a very, very important principle. Litzmo'oi. What does that mean, litzmo'oi? Only to quench his thirst, as opposed to he's got a bone stuck in his throat, so he just wants to down it. Maybe to take medication would be an example. Mavorech shahakol nir bidvari. So it's only if you're drinking it to quench your thirst. That is the bracha horishoino. Nobody's talking about the bracha achreinova. So having machloikas, what is the bracha on mayim? If it's drunk, litzmo'oi. First opinion says, shahakol. That's a Tanakama. Rabbi Tarfon says, borei nefoshes. Says Rashi.
Borei nefoshes for bracha
rishoino. Yep.
Oh, I missed it.
Yep.
That's the only opinion that's a bracha. For the moment, we're discussing. Well, the whole mission is talking about bracha.
The first part is my bracha. Yeah. So we'll get back to this only later on the next onward.
The Mishnah's not telling us what the bracha is over water, bracha Rishona and bracha Achrona. How do we know that?
Because it's how do I know that what? That it's not both?
How do I know that Rabbi Tarfon's not talking about the bracha Achrona?
No, because it says Rabbi Tarfon Oima. Rabbi Tarfon Oima doesn't say Oima Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon Oima always means he's disagreeing with something stated before. Says Rashi, what does it mean? Boyer nefoshes rabbis v'chesroinon. Tzorke sipukon. It's a very, very important translation. As we say this bracha, maybe every day of our lives, we need to know what we're saying. Boyer nefoshes rabbis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created many people, souls. Boyer nefoshes rabbis v'chesroinon. Now, literally translated, v'chasrayim means and their deficiencies, which sounds a bit strange. You're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for creating people with their deficiencies? So Rashi doesn't learn like that. Rashi says, tzorkei sipukon, necessary for their requirements. In other words, it's not referring to the fact that they are deficient. It's referring to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides them with that which they are deficient in. With their necessary requirements. So I'm not thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the fact that I was very thirsty. I'm thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the fact that I was thirsty and HaKadosh Baruch Hu maybe not thirsty. Some, by the way, do not translate like that. Some translate it literally and they say, Boreh Nefoshes Rabbeis V'Chesroinon means... I thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for creating many people v'chesroinon with their deficiencies. Why? L'hachyeis b'hem nefesh kol chai. In other words, imagine a world in which everybody would always be healthy, everybody would always be full, everybody would always be have paranos, everything. There'd be no interaction with anybody. I don't need to speak to a doctor, I don't need to speak to a rav, I don't need to go to the store, I'm completely atzma'i, totally, totally independent. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not create the world like that. Rather, he deliberately created a world in which we have deficiencies. That's the way some translate it. That's not what Rashi is saying. Rashi says quite clearly, v'chesroinon means providing for their deficiencies. Not thank you for the deficiencies, but tzorke, the necessary for their requirements. Whatever is necessary for requirements, HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides. Now, before we go any further, let's turn back to Daf Lamed Zayin Omud Aleph. If you look towards the bottom of the Omud, seven lines from the bottom. Zeh HaKlal. First word on the line. Zeh HaKlal kol shehu mishivas aminim Rav Gamliel oime shalosh brachos with regard to the bracha achreina. Hachachamim oimrim bracha achas me'ein shalosh. Okay. Umaisa b'Rav Gamliel v'azakeinim shoyim subin ba'aliyah b'yerichoyim. There was a story in which Rabbi Gamliel and the Zakenim were sitting together in the Aliyah, in someone's attic, in Yerichai. V'yevi'ulafonim koisavois, and they brought for them, what's koisavois?
Dates.
V'ochlu, v'nosan Rabbi Gamliel, rashus l'Rabbi Kiva, levareich. So what bracha is he going to make? He was mechabadim to make a bracha. The question is, which bracha is he going to make? And guess what he did? Kofatz ubireich Rabbi Kiva bracha achas me'en sholeish. He jumped in without consulting anybody which bracha should be made, and he just decided bracha achas me'en sholeish, which is maybe not so surprising because he went with the opinion of the chachamim. Omalei Rabbi Gamliel Akiva, He got all upset with him. Ad Mosai Atamachnis Roishcha Bein Amachleikas. What gives you right to put your head in this machleikas? It's a whopping machleikas between who? Rabban Gamliel and the Chachamim. You just decide just like that without asking? Oh, Malay, so he answered back, Rabbeinu, excuse me, Aval Pisha Ato Oymekein, even though it's true that you indeed maintain that it should be three brachas, the Chavirecha Omru came as well, but Liman Tateinu Rabbeinu, did you not teach us Yochid V'Rab Malacha Karabim? So, I've got every right to pass the night of Chachamim. That was the Gemara there. So now, Rashi in our Mishnah said, this is Rabbi Gamliel Leta'ame. When Rabbi Gamliel in our Mishnah says you make three brachas over Shiva Saminim, fine, that's Rabbi Gamliel, the old Rabbi Gamliel, whose opinion we have already come across with seven daf ago. But look now at Tosfos. Look at Tosfos. Rabbi Akiva, remember, was the third opinion in the Mishnah, who says that even if you eat shalak, you also make three brachas, brachas, and mazon. Says Tosfos, "V'loy domi lahahi deleel." The Rabbi Gamliel nosan rashus l'Rabbi Akiva levarich. This is not similar to that which we learned in Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Alef, where Rabbi Gamliel gave rashus to Rabbi Akiva to make a bracha. De shani hocha, de ikva mezoine oleha. Because over here is different, because he was kaveya his mezoinus over it. And what was Tosfos' kasha? How do you answer? What was Tosfos' kasha? What was Tosfos' teretz? Again, what was the story there? Rabban Gamliel gave rashus to Rabbi Akiva to bench over these fruits. And he made brachas hamazon, and Rabbi Gamliel got all upset with him. Why are you getting involved in a machlokes?
He said
He said bracha mein shalosh like the Chachamim, and Rabbi Gamliel got all upset with him. Why are you taking a stance in this machlekas? Okay, fine. So what's Tosfos' kasha over here?
How is it in this case?
What's this case? Here Rabbi Akiva's talking about shalak.
He's cooked vegetables. He's making
Berkas Amozen.
Berkas Amozen. The difference here is...
One second, again. So what's the kasha? What's the kasha? So why over here is Rabbi Akiva telling me that I should make Birkas Hamozon, and yet he himself over there with fruit, he did not go with Rabban Gamliel, he says Birkas Hamozon. Rather, we're in the Chachomim, Bracha Achas, Mein Shalosh, Stira. So Tosfos says, no, Lo Domi, it's not the same at all. Because over there is talking about where he was not kaveya his mozain. He just happened to have had a kisavis, had a fruit. Yeah. So he decided, Besedos, if you only make a bracha achas ben shalosh, that's the opinion of the Chachamim. He didn't go with Rabbi Gamliel's opinion about Shiva Saminim. But over here, the reason why it's Machai Birkas HaMozain is because
it's
kaveya suda. Ikva mozaine. This is what he's eating. What is he eating? He's eating shalak. He's eating a cooked stew, whatever it is, or cooked vegetables, and that's his whole meal. Maseda says no stew. Zot the Gemara. My timer, the Rabban Gamliel. What is the reason behind Rabban Gamliel? Why does Rabban Gamliel say that if you have Shivas Aminim, the halacha is, you say, Birkas Amozen, says the Gemara, the Ksiv, Eretz, Chito, Usoira. Tells me the whole list of Shiva Saminim. The Ksiv, then it says, Eretz asher loy b'miskenus teichal bo lechem. Says the land in which you will not eat in poverty. You will not be poor, you'll eat lechem. The Ksiv, and guess what? Immediately afterwards it says, v'chalta v'savata v'rachtos Hashem lekecha, which is the posuk that we learn Birkas Hamazon from.
You see, Yisrael Lo Lo Sechzar Bat too. That's just what you're saying, right? That's the middle pasuk.
Yeah, yeah.
It's also they're not going to be lacking.
So at the end of the day, the way that he learned is that this V'achalta V'savata V'rachta is going back on everything mentioned until that point, including
Shiva
Saminim, Eretz Chita, Soira, Gefen, etc., etc., etc. Says Rashi, Ubeirachto, Akulu Koi. What does that mean, Akulu Koi? This is referring back to everything. I mean, everything mentioned in that list. Ubahahu Kro, Gimel, Brochus, Ramizi. In that pasuk, three brachas are hinted to. Kadomri namas parakshleish shachol. If you look in the Gemara daf memchesam on base, it will tell you exactly where it is. You see three brachas. In other words, the Torah says ubirachto. You have to make a bracha. It doesn't say three brachas. If you look in the Gemara there, the Gemara derives how exactly you see all three brachas. And either way, Rabbi Gamliel maintains that this pasuk v'chaltav asavatav birachto, which is the birkas amazon. Bracha refers back to all that preceded it, including the Shiva Saminim Pasuk. Says the Gemara, Verabonon. What does it mean, Verabonon? One word question. The Chachamim disagree. So why indeed do they disagree? Teretz is Eretz Hifsik Ha'inyan. What does that mean, Eretz Hifsik Ha'inyan? Says Rashi. How many times did it say Eretz? Twice. It says Eretz Chita V'Sa'ira, and then it says again Eretz Hashlem is going to take a bowl of lechem. That second Eretz seems to be superfluous. So if it's there, it acts as a barrier, and it means that it's a mafsik, and the Birkas Hamazon only refers to that which is mentioned
previously,
post after the second Eretz, but not that which is prior to it. Says Rashi, Eretz Hifsiko Inyan, Veloi Koi, Ubeirachto, quote unquote, and the word Beirachto does not refer to anything, Elo, says Rashi, Alechem, the Somichle. It's only going back on bread. What does that mean, the Somichle? That's in juxtaposition. Lechem is Somoch, that's what's written closest to it, but what's written all the way previous to that, that's not included because of the Eretz Hifsik. Okay, so the tennis match is underway. Now we have to throw the ball back into Rabbi Gamliel's court. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Gamliel, Nami. Surely he also has to address the fact that it's Eretz Hifsik Ha'inyan? Question mark. Surely the Rabbanon are right. What right do you have to say that the Ochalta V'Savata V'Rachta is going back all the way to the Shiva Samin Impasa when you had the word Eretz being mafsik? Says the Gemara, Hahu mi boyalei. He says, I agree that this extra Eretz is a superfluous word, but what's it doing there? So you, the Chachamim, maintain that its job is to act as a mafsik. What does it mean to act as a mafsik? To say that it chops off the first half of the pasuk? He says, no. I maintain it plays a different role. Ahumi boyalei. It is required lemeute hakoises es hachito. What does that mean? Says Rashi. For Rabbi Gamliel, ahu hafsoka lefirushe. It's coming. This hafsoka, this gap, this mafsik, is not coming to chop off the previous pasuk. You know what it's coming to do? It's coming lefirushe to explain chita diksiv b'kra kama osa. That chita which is written in pasuk number one, this extra word is coming to explain and qualify what that chita was all about. Ulemeute, and it is coming therefore to exclude Sheim Kosasa. What does Kosasa mean? If you choose Kamois Shehi, we discussed this early on in the Perek. If you chew Chito as it is, not in its bread form, Ein Zu Bechlal Bracha, then this is not included in the Bracha. There is no Birkas Hamazon over it. Elaim Kein Osa Lechem. Unless you made it into bread. So yes, everybody agrees that this word Eret, second time round, is a mafzik and is there to teach you something. It's an extra word, I have to learn something from it. So the Chachamim say what I'm learning for it is, you put a big knife and you chop off the first half of the Pasuk, and Shivas Aminim and Birkas Amozen have got no connection. If the Torah would not have written the word Eretz, how would you read it? All in one breath. You'd say, Eretz, Chito, Gefen, Sahira, da 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 da, Lechem, V'chalt V'sorot V'rachto. So then V'chalt V'sorot is clearly referring to everything written in the lead up, i.e., Shivas Aminim and also Lechem. But if you've got this big word Eretz dumped there, right in the middle, it's there as an extra word, it's there as a mafsik, to tell me the Birkas Amozen only refers to the Shivas Aminim, only refers to Lechem, which is closest to the Pasuk of Achalta V'Savata V'Rachta, and not to the Shivas Aminim. Say Rabban Gamliel, you're right, but you're wrong. You're right that it's an additional word, superfluous, and we've got to learn a halacha from it. But you're wrong in saying that it chops off the first pasuk. No, it's coming from a different halacha completely. This extra word is teaching you that chita, but not every type of chita, only if it is actually made into bread. But if it's not made into bread and you just have the chita as it is and you chew it and swallow it, then you'd not make a bracha of Birkas Hamazon of three brachas.
Are we learning that from the first pasuk or the second pasuk?
Second Eretz.
Second
Eretz, yes. Is superfluous. Okay, second Eretz is superfluous. Okay, we'll hold it over here, but I just want to leave off with the shaila. It could be we once discussed this. This was my bar mitzvah drasha 28 years ago. What's the halacha if a boy, I think we did mention it, a boy who's turning bar mitzvah, is becoming bar mitzvah tonight at 6 o'clock in the evening, that's when Shkia is. At 5:30, this is his last hour as being a katan, he eats a bread-based meal, and now he's finished eating at 5 to 6. He hasn't benched yet. At 6 o'clock, it becomes Shkia. He doesn't continue eating any bread. And he now wants to bench. Is he chayev to bench min ha-Torah or mid-Rabbonim? Meaning, why ultimately is he benching? Because he ate. But when did he eat? He ate as a cotton. But on the other hand, he is seveya. He is satiated now. He feels the sphere. The Torah says v'ochalto, v'savato, or birachto. So which is it? Is it all dependent on when the achila was, or is it all dependent on when the svia was? Now, worse still, imagine if, again, he ate his meal at 5:30, he knows at 6 o'clock he's becoming a godil. At 5 to 6, he benched. He did bench. Come 6 o'clock, he's a godil. He still feels sevea. So if you're going to tell me that the sphere, the satiated feeling, is what's machayev birkas hamazon, then you should be chayev to bench min ha-Torah. What are you going to tell me? But he's already benched. But when he already benched, that was as a cotton, that was only a drabonon. Can the birkas hamazon that he recited as a cotton help for the Birkas Amoz that he's chayav afterwards as a godel?
But he didn't eat after Shkia.
If he ate after Shkia, then his poshet is chayav min
ha-Torah. Right, he's just, but he's severe, a full stomach.
So maybe it's all dependent on that. Maybe the achila is, what are you benching on at the end of the day? On the eating or on the satisfying feeling? Or both?
Both.
So maybe, how do you know? That's the question. That's from Kiveh Eger's shayla. Now, I'll finish off with one little story, again, about Ron Genachowski. Ron Genachowski was a cousin of our mishpacha. My uncle in Bnei Brak, Rav Zanga, once made a bar mitzvah, and in walked Ron Genachowski at the dinner. I was there. And he sat down, and the bar mitzvah boy got up to say his drasha. And what was his bar mitzvah drasha? Exactly this shayla. Many different scenarios of can what a cotton did help for when you become a gadol afterwards, like this case. Classic example, imagine a bar mitzvah boy, his birthday is on a Shabbos, and he makes early Shabbos that week. So he makes Kiddush before nightfall. Say he's only a cotton, not nightfall yet. Now it becomes nightfall, he's got a chiyuv Kiddush min ha-Torah. Does he make Kiddush again? Or does the Kiddush that he made as a cotton help for when he becomes a god? Anyway, so he gave his old drasha, very beautiful drasha, following which, of course, my uncle turned round to Rom Genachowski and said, no, do you want to say a... I say drasha. So of course there's a whole back of me. Well, I've got nothing to say. He's got nothing to say. Fine. So he stood up and he says, "Moirai v'raboisai, I was here and I heard the bar mitzvah boy's drasha, and I'm happy to tell you, or I'm afraid to tell you, I did not understand the whole drasha from beginning to end. I don't understand one word that he said." Now I just told you. And Rom Genachowski was not only a goyin in Torah, he was a goyin in Midas. So how could he stand up and say such a thing? So I didn't understand one word of Mr. Boy's drasha. I don't understand what he's talking about. She said, let me explain. He said, I heard this boy giving a whole drasha, talking about what? That if you do something as a cotton, will it help for when you become a gadol? Now he says, I don't understand. The Bar Mitzvah boy delivered his drasha so beautifully and so clearly and so eloquently. But when did he learn the drasha? He learned the drasha when he was a cotton. So obviously you see from the way that this drasha was delivered, obviously that what you do as a cotton can clearly help for a gadol. So I don't understand the whole drasha. What were you discussing at all? You gave such a marvelous drasha that you see that whatever you do as a cotton helps for a gadol. So what's the sofik b'chlof? He said on the spot.
He sat
down. There you go, Josh. My uncle's called Yom Tov Zang. So these are his children. So he said, oh, these children are called Tasis Yom Tov. Reb Leib Gurovitz, the current Rosh Hashiva in Gateshead's father, used to be the Rosh Hashiva in Gateshead. He had a very big bump on his head. If you look at any photo of Leib Gurovitz, you'll see like a big bump on his head. He used to call that his Tosas HaRosh. Okay, everybody have a wonderful day.
What's the word again?
Kruspedin.
Kruspedin.
He said, you're very welcome to say it. I
can use that now when we get invited out for dinner to somebody I don't want to go. My wife can tell them that I have Kruspedin.
My husband has Kruspedin.
Do we really want to, you really want him to come?
It really is. It's a long-term thing. So yeah, I think it is. He's had it for a while. And it
comes out every day.
Yeah, every day. That we do the symptoms there every single day. I don't want to go into detail, but you heard it. Quite a lot of people have it now.